Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
I'm a soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I
was
What's your secret? Welcome back, Secret Keepers. This is Beyond the Secret. I am Ace Fanning, and I hope your panties are as wet as mine from that new intro. It's kind of lengthy, and I'm sure you guys will eventually just skip it, which, if you notice, it's perfectly 30 seconds. But I think it's really cool, because all the voices you hear are people who actually listen to the show. And all the secrets you're hearing are ones that have been shared with me over the past year. 1 year. Yeah, we're coming up on 1 year of the podcast. And that's crazy because I never thought I would get to this point. I thought for sure I would quit before a year. But September is going to be a huge month. And I will talk more about that at the end of this episode. But right now, we're back with Amish Boy, and I told you last week, this guy's life really happened in two different parts, and I felt it was important the podcast really reflect that. So, let's get back to it. This is part two of Breaking Amish.
She worked at Hooters. Not even that long, not even a week, I think, because another girl there said, hey, if you want to make some real money with me, come do this bachelor party with me tonight and we'll make some real money. And so she asked me how I thought about her giving a lap dance topless for like, and they were like paying her like $200 to take her top off. And to us, that was a lot of money at the time. So I was like, sure, go for it. And she ended up coming home with like $400 that night.
Oh, shit.
And that's like more than a week's paycheck for us.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the heck just happened? Her friend was like, yeah, if you want to do this frequently, I can take you and meet my agent. He'll probably, you know, put you up on the website. And so, of course, I was sketchy about this. Like, okay, what's going on? Who's her agent? Like, who is this guy? Well, I'm, you know, like, what the heck? But we actually went and met the guy, and he was super cool. And yeah, he put Stacy on the website, and she started doing bachelor parties. And she made a lot of money, $300-$500 in one night. Mm-hmm. And she was only working Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday. So she can make $1,000 in one weekend. And we didn't even have to work. We spent the week just hanging out with each other because we could live off that money. And she only had to work the weekends. And eventually her agent ended up talking me into dancing for the bachelorette parties, which I was skeptical about doing that, but I eventually got talked into it. And so I started dancing too. And so we started making some serious money together.
So the first time that you strip is at a bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking nervous were you?
Very nervous. They requested a pizza delivery boy, which I took very seriously. So I had a friend who actually worked at Little Caesars. So she gave me the little visor that they wore on their heads. And it said Little Caesars. I actually went and ordered a pizza, and I bought condoms, the gold foil Trojans, and I scattered those on top of the pizza. So when I showed up at the door, I looked like a legit pizza delivery boy, and I had a pizza to offer with extra sausage. It was great. It was one of the best. Honestly, it was one of the best parties I ever danced for. And I danced for like 7 years after that. And that was, to this day, I'll tell you, that was one of my best parties. My very first one.
Okay. So tell me, though, how does a Amish boy who has never, I mean, I know at this point, like you'd started listening to music and stuff. Like, How do you even know? I mean, do they coach you through like, hey, this is what you're going to do at the party. This is how you're going to dance. This is how you'll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went with a couple other guys and watched them do shows. And like, that's what really got me interested because I didn't really want to dance. I just wasn't interested in that until my agent, he's like, listen, he's like, just go with Todd and just watch him do a party. I was like, okay, fine, I'll just go and watch. And I watched this guy make some money in a half hour. And I was like, dang, I can do that. Like, I saw what he was doing. It wasn't even that crazy. Like, honestly, it wasn't even that good. But these girls were going crazy and dollars were flying. And in the end, that's what matters. So I was like, sure, I'll give this a shot.
Were you primarily just doing like parties and stuff like that? Or did you work at like a strip place?
I primarily did parties, although we did some male reviews at a couple venues, and one of them was a strip club, actually. We did a male review there a few times, and then we had some other venues we performed at on occasion, but mostly it was just the private parties.
Okay, wait, you're going to have to explain to me, what is a male review?
That's when they'll take, like, we'll talk to the manager of a particular bar. If we see potential, we'll be like, listen, if you guys, like, hosted a ladies' night, we've got a team of men who can come in here and do like a sexy male review, or we have choreographed songs that we'll come out to and we'll dance and we'll give the girls a strip show. And a lot of times the managers of the bars would like the sound of that, like, oh wow, we could probably make some money off the bar that night if we do that. So they would cooperate and they would advertise it, they would promote it. Ladies' night, we would have flyers with our pictures on it, we would pass them out in town. And yeah, we had some good turnouts. At small bars, we were putting 400 women. It was packed. The line was out the door. It was crazy how many women would show up for these things.
When you're a male stripper, in your experience, does your wiener ever come out, or are you just like in a thong?
Most of the time, it stays hidden in the thong. But I live in Las Vegas now, and I still dance on occasion. And sometimes they order the full Monty, and I do allow it out here because they're paying pretty good for it. So on occasion, it still comes out once in a while. But back then, it was not.
In Michigan, Michigan was a little more conservative.
Yeah, Detroit is a little conservative.
Let me ask you that. This is, again, another really personal question.
Sure.
Do you take anything? I've never seen a stripper other than in movies. Do you take anything so that like your penis stays bigger?
No, some of the guys would, but I think a more popular technique was jerking off in the bathroom, getting hard, and then tying it off. Which I tried that one time, and it was the most painful thing ever. And I said, no, it's not fucking worth it.
Wait. What's tying off?
So I did a show once, and at the end, it was with another guy, and he told me, he's like, hey, they're going to pay extra for full nude. He's like, you can do it, make some money if you want to. He's like, if not, I'm just going to do it. I was like, go for it, bro. He's like, okay. So this guy goes into the bathroom and he watches some porn. He jerks his wiener, gets it hard, and he either uses a rubber band or string, or I honestly don't know what exactly he uses to tie it off at the base, and it locks all the blood in the shaft. So your dick will stay hard. Your dick will stay hard. You can walk around like that. But it hurts.
God.
Especially when you take that thing off. It hurts. If a girl wants to see me naked, she's going to either look at it soft or she's going to do something about it to make it not soft.
Oh God. Are they allowed to touch you?
It depends on the dancer.
Oh man. Was there ever a point of like jealousy with Stacy about the dancing?
Oh, maybe a little bit at first, cause I wasn't really sure what was going on, but like Stacy's always been a sweetheart to me. And like, she's always like shown me how much she loves me. And so I was always pretty secure in our relationship.
It's crazy that you can be that way, especially because of the fact that like you grew up in a house where like women can't show anything.
Right.
And I think normal men growing up in normal American homes would have a hard time with their wife going and stripping.
Oh, for sure.
It's crazy to me that like, even though you grew up way more strict than the rest of us, that you seemed pretty cool with it.
Yeah.
You seem like a very cool person. I wish I was more cool. I want to be more cool in my life. I'm not.
I'm sure you are. You seem like it to me.
No. Okay, so how long do you guys stay in Detroit stripping?
Let's dancing. See. We,
is it rude to call it stripping?
You can call it stripping.
Okay, stripping.
Basically, that's what we're doing. We call it entertaining. It sounds a little more professional.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we moved to Detroit in, let's see, 2008 we got married. I feel like it was 2010 that we moved out there. Yeah, 2009 to 2010. And then we lived in Detroit for 5 years before moving to Vegas.
And what prompted the move to Vegas?
We were ready for something different. And we felt very financially secure because we were making quite a bit of money in Detroit in the entertainment industry. We thought we might be able to do even better in a larger city such as Las Vegas. We wanted something different than what all of our friends were doing. Like all of our friends went to the bar every weekend. We did the same thing, party, party, party. Work, drink, you know, drink our money away. And I don't know, we were looking for something different, more opportunity.
Well, and actually going back to your childhood, I think that you are naturally, like, no matter what you try and do in life, you're a worker because you were pretty much raised to be a worker.
Yeah.
And so I think for you, you're like, listen, like, I can do this, but at the end of the day, and that's probably why you're successful now, is because you have that work ethic that's like, nope, I'm going to keep going. I want more. I'm going to push myself harder. No pun intended.
I like it. You know what's funny is I agree with everything you just said. I feel like it has helped me to push harder and be a hard worker. But I'll be honest, when we first started making money, when we started first dancing, we had access to money that we have never had access to before. Like Stacy and I grew up in very poor families. And all of a sudden we had cash to go to the mall and buy designer clothes to wear. Buckle was our favorite store. We blew lots of money. We would go out drinking with friends. We spent money on drugs. We spent lots of money on fashion. So yeah, I wasn't always, you know, like we were making money, but I wasn't a true hustler back then. I was enjoying life, and we spent a lot of the money that we made.
Which I understand too, though. Like, you've also mm-hmm. been an adult your entire childhood, and it's like you just want to have some fun.
Yeah. I mean, we were able to take vacations. We were able to book a flight and go to Miami. And like, my family didn't fly. Like, they probably will never be on a plane.
How scary was your first flight?
I flew to Alabama.
Were you scared?
I was more nervous about figuring the ticket out, where to do the security, and then the luggage, and then the gate, and like trying to figure that out. Like by the time I got on the plane, they were calling my name almost to shutting the doors. I was like the last person on the flight, so I barely made my first flight. So I was a little nervous.
If it makes you feel any better, my wife and I have both been flying our entire lives, and we have spent many hours at an airport that we've never been at trying to find baggage claim because we can't follow simple directions. Uh-huh. And so don't feel bad about that. I'm a total idiot. We do that all the time. Okay, so you guys go to Vegas, and the goal in Vegas is just to try and strip, but like more high end stripping, correct?
Yes. And we had a girlfriend at the time. So there were three of us together.
Wait, what?
Yes. We had this young lady that we met who was actually trying to get on her feet. And so we opened up our house to her and offered to let her, she didn't have a car. So we offered to let her work with Stacy. She could ride with Stacy to work. Okay, I need to fill in this too. At this point, Stacy was working the private bachelorette parties on the weekend, and she was working at the club a couple nights during the week. So we offered this girl to live with us and to ride with Stacy to work, and she could work with Stacy, make some money, save some money, and get back on her feet. So this girl moves in with us, and the three of us end up getting really close together because the first time we met, it was on like a party, and we all hooked up together kind of right away. So we had that connection. So we were all sleeping in the same bed together. We were waking up together, brushing our teeth together. We were showering together, eating breakfast together, doing laundry together, going grocery shopping together. We functioned as a family. We became very close very, very quickly. And we were together for about 10 months before deciding to move to Vegas together, because she was even tired of Michigan at this point, and we were just ready for something new. So the three of us had like $10,000 saved, and we moved to Las Vegas with no plan other than the girls were gonna work at a local strip club there, and I was gonna get hooked up with an agency out there.
Okay, walk me through. So, okay, you're at a party, you guys have a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, see, and it, this is where I say, like, I so want to understand people's minds, because I'm so curious how, like, I mean, you grew up not exposed to anything. I grew up, like, right. I was the kid at school who, like, told everybody what sex was, like, in third grade, because I was exposed to a lot because I had older siblings. And like, I didn't even learn about, like, these three people relationships until more recently, and yet you found yourself in one.
Yeah.
Did
we
you
weren't know? Even trying we were not even trying to make it happen.
And did you know that, like, this is a thing people did, or were you guys just kind of like, oh, hey, we both like her?
Yeah, we knew it was different because we got lots of questions about it. And we knew it wasn't the norm, but it actually worked for us. Like, we were all best friends, and the girls loved each other, and we all just loved each other. We had fun. We functioned together as a family, and very efficiently. Like, it's easier to grocery shop with three people than it is with two, or to take care of a household. If you got three people that are in on it, we are a team. So it worked out well.
I'm a knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are
hers and hers and his. Sweet company too.
I think the biggest hangup I have about these three people relationships is the fact that you said you guys are all sleeping in the same bed together.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate that. Like, that would drive me nuts.
Well, we eventually had more than one bed, and we would, like, switch it up a little bit, because I ended up having some back problems. And so, like, we didn't all sleep together all the time. We had other options.
Okay. Okay, so you get to Vegas. You get signed with an agency. The girls are working.
Everything changed again in my life, big time. When Stacy was working in Detroit as a dancer, and she did that for 4 or 5 years, I guess, she was making a lot of money and getting a lot of attention from guys. That was a norm for her. She got used to that. She got used to going on stage and just people making it rain. They brought two garbage bags full of money home one time. It took us 2 days just to sort the money out, bundle it, stack it, and count it and put it in shoeboxes.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, I think, on a little bit of a high in her life, and which rightfully so. Like, she grew up very conservatively too. I'm glad to see her having a good time, you know. When we moved to Vegas, the girls thought it was going to be like Detroit, only 10 times more.
Yeah.
But it was the other way around. There was so much more competition in Vegas. There's more girls. There are hotter girls. And they're doing more for less. And everyone's on a hustle. And so they went from making lots of money into Detroit to not even being able to pay their tip out.
So
we struggled financially. I got hooked up with an agency, and I was actually doing better in Vegas than I did in Detroit, but the girls were not making anything.
They were essentially big fishes in a little pond in Detroit.
Yeah. Yes. Very true.
So for me to strip and have any sort of livelihood, I'd probably have to do it in, like, middle Alaska.
I mean, that'd be a good start. You could probably monopolize that.
Okay, so you guys are, I mean, you're strapped for cash at this point.
Yeah, and Stacy became really depressed. And she was not the same person anymore. She felt like God was punishing her, because at this point, she started talking to her family again while she was in Vegas. And I really wasn't aware how much she was communicating with her father, who was a Baptist pastor, mind you, who was not okay with his daughter living in Sin City with her husband, who is sleeping with another woman, like, to him, because she told him everything.
Oh God, I wouldn't have thought she'd tell them anything.
Nah, she became pretty depressed because of the whole money situation. And so she ended up calling, because, you know, things were tight. We didn't have money. We just had the money I was making, but that was hardly enough to support three people and the new house that we were living in. There was lots of tension, lots of stress, and she started talking to her father, who he actually talked her into leaving us. And she left one day and drove all the way back to Michigan to live with her brother.
Did she say that she was leaving?
No, she didn't. I didn't know that she left. I didn't know that she went to Michigan until a few days later. I thought, because I knew there was tension. I knew there was stress. I knew that she was dealing with some personal issues. So when she disappeared, I thought, and she blocked my number too. She blocked my number and she blocked our girlfriend's number. So I didn't really know what was going on. I thought, well, she'll just, you know, she's probably staying with a friend or something. She'll come around. But then someone told me like 4 or 5 days later, they said, she's not coming back. She drove back to Michigan.
That makes me so sad for you because, again, someone who's very important to you, very close to you, is, again, just leaving. Like, again, there's not a conversation. There's not this, hey, like, things are rough and I want to go. Like, it's right. Just, like, just gone.
No communication.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not an easy time in my life. It was the most challenging time in my life, honestly. I stayed in Vegas. After I found out Stacy had left, she eventually unblocked my number, and she tried to talk me into coming back to Michigan.
Did you stay with your girlfriend?
I did for a month, but it was not easy. And it was very difficult on me to leave Stacy. I knew that she had been brainwashed into going back. I knew it.
Yeah.
So there was this side of me that said, I have to go back just to get Stacy in her right mind, just to let her know everything's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But I eventually wanted to come back to Vegas. So I stayed for a month and I talked to our girlfriend and I told her, I said, listen, I said, I have to go back and get Stacy. I said, I can't just like leave her there. Like, it's not right what she did. I know she's scared. She's depressed. She's got a lot going on. I got to go back though and get her. You know, like, she's our Stacy. Like, we can't just like leave her. And so our girlfriend was understanding. She was sad though. She actually took me to the airport, dropped me off crying. I told her, I said, I'll be back. I didn't think it would take too long. Well, the people that Stacy was surrounding herself with back in Michigan were telling her that the three of us being together was not a good thing and that we needed to break that off. So I moved back to Michigan, and she told me I could stay at her brother's house, which I did, and that's where Stacy was staying. But the day I moved back, I called our girlfriend just to see how she was doing. I told her I got home to Michigan safe. You know, I wasn't trying to like disconnect her from my life. I was just trying to get Stacy in her right mind and then go back to Vegas, and we all three be back together again. This was just a rough patch. But when Stacy didn't want me talking to our girlfriend anymore. She had some friends influencing her to tell me to delete her number, which I couldn't do that. That wasn't right. Like, the three of us had a house together in our name in Vegas. We were all on the same phone plan together. We functioned as a family. You know, our girlfriend moved with us from Detroit to Vegas, trusting us that we were all going to stay out there together and work it out. So I wasn't cool with losing her number. During that time, while I was in Michigan, our girlfriend rented out one of the bedrooms in the house to this young man to help with the bills, which I understand. And she ended up falling into a relationship with this guy. So she quit talking to me too. She messaged me and said, if you come back to Vegas, she said, you're going to have to find another place to live because I had your name removed from the lease.
Apparently, the rule here is don't let anybody move in with you because you're probably going to end up fucking them because your guys' girlfriend moved in with you guys. And then, and now this girl has a guy move in just to help with the bills and boom.
Boom.
Note to self. Okay.
Note to self.
Okay. So you're in Michigan with Stacy. Your girlfriend in Vegas has now broken up with you.
Mm-hmm. It was a bum time. Yeah. I had to find another place to live and Stacy wasn't talking to me anymore. And I felt very alone. Not gonna lie.
It's crazy that you could even feel, I mean, this is me just deep diving into the feelings, but it's crazy that you got to a point where you could feel alone because so much of your childhood and everything, you were alone.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't for the past several years before moving to Vegas. I was, you know, when I became a dancer in Detroit, I became pretty popular. Yeah, I got used to having a lot of people around me most of the time. Well, most of those people were girls. So when we moved to Vegas and then I moved back to Michigan, I don't even want to be there. And then Stacy quits talking to me. Alicia breaks out with me. I felt very alone all of a sudden. But at the same time, it was very peaceful. And that's when I really began to do some soul searching in my own life. And I began to change as a person.
How so?
More faith. Way more faith. Because it took a lot of faith for me to leave Las Vegas to go back for Stacy, not knowing what my future was going to be. And I started praying. When I was in Las Vegas, I got on my hands and knees in a bedroom crying because I didn't know what to do. It felt like my world was falling apart. And crazy thing, when I started praying and then taking these little steps of faith, these miracles would happen. Moved back to Michigan. I stayed with Stacy's brother until that didn't work out. But very randomly, a pastor of a local church got wind that I needed a place to live. And he hooked me up with this elderly man who needed someone to stay at his farm. Long story short, this elderly man ended up passing away before I even moved in there. And his son, who inherited the farm, asked me to live there and just take care of the cats and take care of the farm. And he even tossed me the keys to his dad's truck. It was a five-bedroom farmhouse on 100 acres. We had a pole barn, a big red barn with hay lofts, and a three-car garage. And I got to live there for free for a year after moving back to Michigan. And that was a miracle. But that farm helped me have a lot of moments of solitude to myself. And I feel like I just became a wiser person there. I wasn't partying. I wasn't drinking much. You know, I was reading good books. And I was working a little construction job. I was making $10 an hour. And I was back to basics.
Do you eventually get Stacy back or no?
I do. Okay. Yep. She eventually starts talking to me again. And she moves in with me at the farm. And I work a construction job. And it was tight. Things were tight. I didn't want her working. Obviously, I didn't want her stripping anymore. Because, you know, she wasn't even about to strip anymore. She was over that lifestyle. So at this point, I was just trying to like nurture Stacy back into my life and willing to compromise however I had to just to get her back. So we lived on that farm, which was a blessing. We had, you know, Stacy and I, we became closer together as a couple. She started appreciating me a lot for coming back to get her and not just leaving her there, because it didn't take her long. Like, she moved back to Michigan and like 2 or 3 months into it, she started realizing that she didn't want to go back to her parents' way of life and all the rules and everything. Like, yeah, they talked her into leaving. And then once she was back, we did start going to church. We went to her dad's church, her brother's church, and this other small church. But it's people looked at us differently, because by this time, everyone had known that we were in a three-way relationship and we were strippers at one point. And like, even those people looked at us differently, and we just felt like we didn't belong. So Stacy and I worked hard on that farm, saved money, and made it a goal to move back to Las Vegas.
Oh, shit. So you go back to Vegas.
We end up going back to Vegas. We drove to Vegas the second time in a 1981 Volkswagen Rabbit, packed with all of our belongings.
And how is second time in Vegas different than the first time?
Well, we didn't have our house and we didn't have our girlfriend. Okay. Our girlfriend was with this other guy at this point. So from the first time we left Las Vegas, we went back to Michigan. We were back in Michigan for 2 years before going back to Vegas. I had a friend of mine who I had danced with in Vegas. Him and I were talking, and he needed a roommate. And so I told him, I said, hey, well, we're going to need a place to live. We're going to Vegas. So he said, yeah, you guys can rent my spare bedroom. And you can work with me on the strip, because I guess his partner had left the area, moved to Arizona, and so he needed a partner for some dancing gigs. So I was like, all right, sounds good.
You went back into dancing?
Yes, sir.
And was that the plan? Like, when you guys decided, hey, we're going to go back to Vegas, were you guys like, we're going to go back to Vegas and we're going to dance?
Well, I wasn't even with an agency at this point. This was just working with my buddy on the strip. He would go down there and dress as a sexy cowboy with no shirt on, cowboy hat, maybe some chaps, a belt buckle, and take pictures with girls and get paid for it. And he was making, well, the two guys together were making like $400 a day. But the funny thing is, here's some unexpected things that happen. We moved back to Vegas. I show up at my buddy's house and you know, we greet each other. Hey, how you been? It's been a couple years. It's good to be back. Good to have you back. He's like, well, let me show you the house. He shows us the room. He's like, yeah, this is where you guys can stay for the week. And I'm like, wait, the week? I was like, I thought we were like splitting the rent and you know, all that. And he's like, oh, he's like, well, my girlfriend moved in. So she's actually, that's her room now. He's like, but she's staying in my room for a week while you guys stay here. He's like, I got you guys a 7-day parking pass.
Oh God.
So I'm like, okay, does my buddy like not realize that we don't have a place to go and we exhausted all of our money just getting here? So it's not like we had thousands of dollars to throw on a down payment first and last month's rent, you know, getting into a place. I thought we were splitting the rent at his place. He was letting us move in. And yeah, that all went down the drain. So, oh yeah. And his partner ended up coming back 2 days later after we got there. And he didn't need me anymore either. So I was kind of out of a job and out of a place to live.
So you guys are broke again.
Broke again. Yeah, and this time with no place to live. So we were technically homeless.
And what the fuck do you do?
We were used to road tripping because when we lived in Michigan, we took a road trip to Florida in our Volkswagen. And that's another story. We went down there for 4 months and I just hustled up some construction work. We lived out of our car and then we worked some construction work during the day together. And we hung out at the beach in the evening. So we got used to like living out of our car. And even when we drove to Vegas, we didn't drive straight through to Vegas. We stopped in Colorado. We went camping. We saw some cool sights. So we were kind of prepared to live out of our car. We had a Coleman grill. We had a hammock. We had a tent. So when we didn't have a place to live, we just kind of went back to the mountains and said, well, it looks like we're going camping. Oh, hell no! And that's where we lived for 4.5 months after arriving in Las Vegas. We had a little campfire, a tent set up. I had it hidden so no one could find it. And it was actually a really nice place.
I think the big difference between Colorado and camping and Vegas and camping is that Vegas is like Arizona. It's hell. Yep. It's literal hell.
Yeah. So thank God when we came out here, we got out here right around Halloween. So our homeless times were the winter months, which was awesome because it was on the chilly side, not on the hot side.
Oh, good.
So at this point, I wasn't dancing. Stacy wasn't dancing. Stacy had just learned the art of wood burning. She's an artist. She knows how to draw and she learned how to do wood burning art too. So I was using my social network marketing skills to sell wood burning projects to people on our social media. So I would use Facebook, Snapchat, like the whole time we were homeless, like I was posting all this on my Snapchat. I was still running a decent Snapchat channel at this point. And so all of this, people were following our journey. They're like, look, these guys, they went to Vegas, they broke up, they went back to Michigan, now they're going back to Vegas. So we had some fans on our Snapchat who watched our journey, who are happy to like, hey, you guys need some money, I'll order a wood burning project from you. You know, we had people, they would send in pictures and Stacy would take the picture and draw it on the box and then burn it on a wood box. And she called them stash boxes.
Oh,
and she would get, and we would sell those. And honestly, we made enough to keep our phones turned on and to keep some food in our cooler and some fuel in our tank. So that's how we lived for 4 months.
But eventually, wood burnings aren't enough and camping and living out in the forest is not enough.
Not enough. So eventually, one day, Stacy was like, Shane, what if I just started dancing again at the club out here? Because she had a friend who like mentioned to her this one club, not one of the bigger clubs that she tried working at, this club was a smaller club, less known, and less girls worked there. And so I was like, well, it's not my first choice to have you work at a strip club again, but like, honestly, we could use some money right now. She's like, well, I could give it a shot. So she went to work and she made a few hundred her first night. And again, our lives were changed.
I know that you didn't want to pressure her into it, but at the same time, I think when she said that, I would have been like, oh, thank God.
Well, yeah, but like, I was like looking for some other option because I knew she didn't like working at the club. I knew she didn't like doing that. It's not her preference.
Yeah.
So while we were still homeless, though, I was on Craigslist trying to find gigs, you know, however we can make money. And there's this one ad on Craigslist. This guy was a photographer and he was looking for a couple to shoot and he offered $300. And at this point, you know, I didn't know if it was spam, if it was for real, but I got in touch with the guy. It was for real. He wanted to meet up and talk. And so we met up with this guy. Station and I talked about it. We met up with him. He seemed like a really cool, legit guy. And yeah, we filmed. Station and I had sex in his guest room at his place while he filmed us. And he gave us $300 afterwards.
If you're wondering how I'm not just completely screaming my fucking head off at this point. Because even listening back to it, it's very shocking. But this is the thing. This is what I knew going into the interview. The whole rest of the story, I didn't know much about. But I knew this part, and I knew that this existed.
And at that point, he said, listen, he's like, we can continue doing this, and I can pay you cash every time we do this. He's like, or if you want to build a Pornhub channel together, you know, we can like go in and on it together. I'll do the filming and editing. You guys can be the models. And whatever it generates, we'll split 50-50, you know. And we did think about doing porn at one point because I would joke about it. When I was living in Michigan, I was like, I'm moving back to Vegas and I'm going to make it one way or the other. I'll even do porn if I have to. So I said, sure, that's fine. And I explained to him that we kind of, if we're going to do this, I wanted to do something different than typical porn. And the fact that Stacy and I, we spent pretty much all of our life outdoors. We didn't really go indoors much. So we were having sex outside a lot and we would go hiking and mountain climbing and we would have sex while we were out there. And that's what I wanted to film. I wanted it to be out in nature. And I expressed this to this guy and he's like, oh yeah, that'll be fine. So we actually posted one video with him on our channel, but it never hardly ever got any views. And he wasn't really interested in doing the filming outdoors. So it got to a point where I just cut him out of the equation. I changed the password on my Pornhub account. And I told Stacy, I said, listen, I'm not going to wait on this guy to go hiking. He never wants to go hiking. It's always too hot or whatever. I said, we're going to do this together.
Was this photographer me? Because I'm a photographer. Like, that's what I do for my actual job. And nice. I'd be like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go hiking.
Right?
Was it weird to have sex in front of somebody filming you for the first time?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But when you're living in a tent in the Las Vegas desert and you need money.
Ain't nothing that weird.
Right.
you kick him out of the Pornhub account and you just.
And so, yeah. So at this point, Stacy and I started filming ourselves having sex outside and we started posting videos. At first it was just for fun, but Pornhub ended up featuring some of our videos and we ended up starting making some money on there. And then they featured us again and again and again, and they featured almost all of our videos. So our views grew, our money grew, and currently we're doing that full time. Stacy still dances once in a while as supplemental income. I still dance once in a while, but our goal is to continue filming and making high quality adventure porn videos and do that full time. And we want to travel the world.
I have a question for you. And
sure.
My thing is, like, I love business. I love, like, making businesses and I love talking to people about businesses. How does revenue come from Pornhub?
So right off the bat, it comes from views. So if you get lots of views, you make some money.
And when you guys got featured...
I didn't even know it. A friend of mine messaged me on Instagram. And she's like, hey, do you know you're on the front page of Pornhub? And I was like, no. And I linked my Instagram to my Pornhub. And I got a bunch of friend requests on Instagram. I was like, wait, something funny is going on. And so I checked into it. And then my views went up on Pornhub. I was like, oh, wow, we got featured.
Were you kind of nervous that you got featured? Like, were you planning to become...
No, I didn't even know being featured was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, we were just posting on there. And I mean, when we started, I was like, okay, we're not going to make much money off this. That's what I thought. I was like, you know, no one knows about us. We don't have that many views, but whatever. I told Stacy, I said, we're having fun when we make videos. We like to go hiking. We like having sex. And I love filming. So we're going to still make videos and put them out there and at least get our name out there. And it paid off because... Yeah, we got featured several times.
And then when you get into porn, I mean, there's other things that you can do, correct? Like there's things that like your fans can pay for and stuff.
Yeah, so we've done custom videos for people. We've had, you know, people request certain things or suggest certain things, different outfits or who knows. The imagination can run wild.
Are you guys, like, known in the porn world yet?
Somewhat.
Like, aren't there, like, porn conventions and stuff?
Yeah, there's actually a big one that comes to Vegas, and we actually went to it. But I don't know. Like, what we're doing is so different. I wasn't even that impressed with the porn convention because, like, the porn that we do is different. Like, it's me and Stacy. We're actually married. We've been together. We've been through a freaking lot together. We love each other. We know we love each other. Like, she's left. I've gone after her. We've come back together. Like, we've got a little bit of depth to our relationship. And that shows in our videos. And the fact that we're hiking, we're outside, we're exercising, we're being healthy. Like, it just adds an entire different vibe to the video that you're watching. It's not like typical porn where a hot guy shows up, hot girl, and they just go at it. Like, there's way more to our videos than that. So I feel a lot different than any other channel on Pornhub.
Yeah.
I feel set apart for sure. And right now we're at just over 18 million views. And we just started a year ago. That's not too bad. But like the top porn stars, they're at like hundreds of millions of views. So in retrospect, I don't know if we're that popular.
Shit, 18 million. I mean,
but that's a lot. Sure.
Yeah, that's
it. Got to a point. You know what? I went to a country concert here in Vegas, and the band that opened up for the main headliner, they approached me after the concert and said, hey, we want to get pictures with you. They recognized us from Pornhub.
Okay,
the band wanted pictures with us.
How awkward is it to know that, like, people, I mean,
like, they've seen us naked.
Yeah, like, is that a weird feeling to be like, if someone recognized you, they probably almost don't want to say anything because they're like, oh, shit,
exactly.
I'm with my wife. She's going to know I was watching this.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, a lot of people probably don't say anything to us because of that. But I've been approached by people before just at the store or whatever, like, hey, bro, keep doing the good work, you know?
Oh, my God, how awkward.
Yeah, I know, right?
I thought it was awkward when your friend wrote you and was like, hey, I was just on Pornhub and
right
off, and I saw that you guys were featured. Really cool, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Another friend told me, he's like, hey, dude, he's like, congratulations. He's like, I'm not going to lie about it. He's like, bro, he's like, we're all watching your porn. Like, come on. He's like, I'm going to just congratulate you on it.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. And so
I know.
I mean, the goal for you guys is to just keep growing your Pornhub account more.
So we have an OnlyFans website now, too, that requires a paid subscription to view our videos. And we currently have over 60 videos on there right now. And we're making more. I'm working on some new ones this week, actually. But I'm also, my dream is to build my own website. But I want to build that website and eventually host all of my videos on my own website. So I'm not using... And OnlyFans, I could still have a Pornhub account, but not use it that much. And I want to grow my company into more than just porn. I want it should be more about a healthy lifestyle and positive living, because that's important. And sex is part of a healthy lifestyle, and it's part of living positively. We all need sex.
What if you guys did marriage retreat, where you take people out into the forest and they camp and they do whatever healthy people like to do, but then this whole other element of it is having sex out in nature, and they get to experience what it is that you guys do and market to people as like, hey, let's bring you closer together, let's get you closer to Mother Nature and closer to your wife's hole. I don't know.
Yes, I like the sound of that a lot.
Right? See, this is what I mean. I love talking business.
Yes.
I don't want to go to your retreat because I don't want to do any of the stuff. But I think that would be something like, everybody loves exercise. Everybody loves being outside. I don't. And then what you do is you guys travel around. Mm-hmm. And then what you can do is you kind of take this stigma off of porn and it being this like negative thing in a relationship, and like they're like, porn in a way brought me and my husband closer together because we went on this porn inspired retreat, and you know,
right?
Boom.
Yeah, I cannot even tell you how many messages and emails I have gotten from people already telling me that our videos have helped bring them together, or it has changed their lives in a positive way.
Okay, so do me a favor, tell the listeners, because I think the thing with this podcast that is so funny is people always want to know who it is that's sharing the secrets. And you're really the first one that we're like, not only are we going to tell you who it is, we're going to show you his penis. So
yep.
SparksGoWild.com, the OnlyFans, what is that?
OnlyFans.com/SparksGoWild. If you go to my website, you will notice that there is nothing on my website relating to porn whatsoever.
Oh.
And so I want to keep my website like that, where people go to SparksGoWild.com, anyone can go there. You can go there, your kids can go there, anyone can go there, and you might find some blogs from our latest trips that we've been on, or road trips, or maybe some cool videos from when we went to the lake or hiking, or there might be some recipes on there for some healthy food that you can make, or there might be some workout videos there that you can do at home. I want it to be interactive so people can go there and it can benefit their lifestyle in a healthy way. And then from there will be another section of my website which will host all of our adult content videos, and there you'll have to verify that you're 18 and become a member to view them.
Gotcha. So do the recipes with the kids, do the workout, and then kick the kids fucking out when you go to bed at night, and then go to the adult section and
go to the adult section.
Screw like rabbits.
Right.
And then on Pornhub, do they just search Sparks Go Wild?
Sparks Go Wild. You'll find us.
I think it's cool that you're not just wanting to just do porn. Like, you're trying to make this whole lifestyle out of it. And I think the porn is just like,
it's just a stepping stone. And let's face it, I mean, I'm not shy about the videos that I make. Like, we're all either having sex or we're masturbating. So I would like to see sex. And like you said, I think you said it real well when you said, I'm trying to take sex and porn and make it something that's not so taboo. It's more normal. In fact, it's encouraging couples who might only be having sex once a week or once a month to maybe try doing it a little more frequently together and turn it into an adventure. You know, there's lots of places you can go and hide.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I think for a lot of people, like in your relationship, you kind of get stuck in a sense of like, oh, you know, we have sex and it's just kind of something we do. But for you, you're saying like, no, this is an opportunity for you to go out and explore together. And like, there's this whole other aspect of it. And then just in the midst of that, you can fuck.
Yeah. When you watch a beautiful girl take her clothes off on top of a mountain with a beautiful view behind her, it just kind of, it's a kind of beauty that you can't really find anywhere else. And so I'm creating that.
Wow. Look at you, little artist. Poet.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've told you guys before how important it is that I never stop recording, because you never know what else might come up. And at the very end of our interview, I asked a question that I try to ask every person I interview.
Okay, that was a really, really good interview.
Awesome.
Do you feel like there's anything that you feel like you wish you had said, or are you good?
I told you guys, September's going to be a very big month. But you'll have to wait until September to know the answer to this question and a lot more exciting things. And if I'm giving you too much blue balls, too much, is that right? Anyways, good news. You can take care of that by visiting Shane and Stacy on their Pornhub channel, Sparks Go Wild. Oh, and if you're curious what exactly I was showing to my friends whose reactions I posted on the Instagram account, head over to the Sparks Go Wild Pornhub page, Fucking and Sucking Out at Lake Mead. Cue it up to 2 minutes and 10 seconds, and that was their first impression of Shane. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to share Beyond the Secret with your friends, or at least the friends who would appreciate it. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.